The first scripture reading, actually the second after the psalm, is a reading from the Hebrew Bible from Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 22 through 31. You can find this in your pew Bible, something I highly recommend, by turning to page 557 in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the first book in the Bible. Hear these words. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's page 145 in your New Testament. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson goes back to a familiar story, that being Jesus' departure from this earth. You turn to John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, and you'll find that on page 104 in the New Testament. Hear these words of our Savior. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as clearly you are all aware, if you pay attention to anything in our society, today in the church is Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day as it's celebrated throughout the rest of the country. But also in the church, in the United Methodist Church, today is also Peace with Justice Sunday. So I want to talk to you about war and about peace and about God's peace. First, a bit of a story about war and about peace. Memorial Day is the day that we honor all who have died in American wars. Now, my guess is that most Americans are similar to me in at least one respect. Many of us don't really fully understand what is involved in war and the incredible sacrifice made by the men and women who serve in this country's military forces. When I was a kid growing up in central Ohio, the Vietnam War was raging, and I was trying to make sense of it all. I saw black and white TV reports where Walter Cronkite talked gravely about the thousands of American soldiers who were dying. The news programs showed those images of helicopters swooping into villages surrounded by palm trees and rice paddies, trying to rescue injured soldiers. They also showed images of Vietnamese villagers fleeing the horrible destruction of their homes amid flames and chaos. It didn't make a lot of sense to a kid in junior high school. I bought a POW, a prisoner of war bracelet, and I wore it all the time, trying somehow to make a connection with the American prisoner whose name was inscribed on my wrist. I can remember the day that the newspaper ran his name as one of the lucky freed prisoners, and I finally took off that bracelet. I also remember the student protests on the Ohio State University campus where my father worked. The students were, many of them were against the war, chanting slogans like, "Make love, not war," as if that were a viable alternative. I wore a brass peace sign and I felt grown up. I can remember my father spending the night in his building on a bomb watch. I remember the smell of tear gas wafting into our yard from the Ohio State University campus, and I remember being afraid. I remember the images from Kent State, also in Ohio, those images of students lying dead from the bullets from U.S. soldiers. It didn't make a lot of sense to a kid in junior high school. Clearly, I didn't understand what it means for a young man or a woman to go off to war, the difficult job they are asked to do, the horrific things that many of them see, the daily terror and anxiety of those in the combat zones, the very real possibility that each of them may die in that conflict, and the sacrifice that they are freely willing to make. Before that time, World War I, World War II, and the Korean War had taken place. Since that time of the Vietnam War, we have had the Gulf War, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and several conflicts in other places throughout the world. All of this hit home for me one cold winter morning in 2004 when I was asked to officiate at the funeral and committal service of a congregant and dear friend of mine, Asta Benjamin. Excuse me. Asta grew up in Antigua and joined the U.S. Army after moving to Virginia as a young immigrant woman. When I knew her, she had just gotten her master's degree with her two daughters, and she had died suddenly and unexpectedly. Her funeral was so well attended that we had to set up chairs in the aisles of our little suburban church. Well, because of Asta's distinguished service as a highly decorated Army officer, her burial took place in Arlington National Cemetery with full military honors. The morning of that committal service, it was raining. As I got out of my car to meet with the military representatives, it started to pour. We stood at the side of the grave in a tightly bunched group, shielding ourselves as best we could from the driving rain. And I watched as the caisson pulling Asta's casket rolled up to the gravesite. The two perfectly matched brown horses looked dignified and miserable in the rain, just like the young officers who lifted the casket off the caisson and carried it into place. I said a few prayers of the Methodist service, and the army did their wonderful ceremony. As I turned to get back into my car, I looked out over the hundreds of acres of perfectly aligned white grave markers in row upon row across the hills of Arlington Cemetery. Some of those markers had a Christian cross. Some had the Star of David. Each of those graves held the remains of someone's father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter. Each of those Americans made a huge sacrifice for their country, just like my friend Asta. I felt thankful and heartsick as I stood in the rain. On this Memorial Day, we may not fully understand what is involved in war and the incredible sacrifice made by the men and women who serve in this country's military forces. We may not fully understand, but I pray that each of us will be grateful for their service and for their sacrifice. Military service is an honorable and necessary profession, but war is never a good thing. War has existed as long as there have been human beings. And we as God's people have never been able to find a viable alternative to war. But I believe in my heart that God cries when God's people go to war. Christians everywhere throughout the world pray for peace today and nearly every Sunday as we do. But peace is not simply the absence of war. God's peace is something entirely different. God's peace is also known by the Hebrew word shalom. Many of you may know that Jewish believers use shalom as a greeting and as a goodbye, not unlike aloha or namaste. And when you look into the meaning of the word shalom, you will find the following ideals: completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, and harmony. God's peace is found in God's kingdom, which is that model of shalom, which is peace with justice. God's peace will never be fully attained until every person, every single person on earth and in heaven have enough to eat, clean water to drink, a warm bed in a safe house, a solid education and a secure future for their family, and the true gifts of human dignity and unconditional love and strong community. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that none of us will truly be free until all of us are free. God's peace cannot be something that we simply wish for. We must pray for peace. We must work for peace. In truth, we must build God's peace one person at a time. When you honor an American veteran, you are building peace by recognizing the peacekeepers who have sacrificed for all of us. When you walk in the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, you are building peace by helping to stop world hunger. When you support our youth group in their mission trip coming up, you are building peace by mentoring a Christian kid. When you donate to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, you are building peace by providing a mosquito net in the fight against malaria. When you recycle newspapers and plastics, you are building peace by caring for God's glorious creation. When you pray for your sisters and brothers in poverty throughout the world, you are building peace by invoking the transforming work of God's Holy Spirit. My sisters and brothers, despite all indications to the contrary, God's kingdom is coming. Of that you can be absolutely sure. But our Lord is relying upon each of us to help build God's peace. God's peace to you and to all of God's children. Shalom. Amen.